not for nothing that you're here. And I just want to commend the people in this. You know, as pastor, you get to be intimately, I wouldn't say that intimately, but you get to be well involved with the congregation. So I tend to know what people go through and how they struggle. I want to commend this congregation. We've got so many people here this morning that have not sat down and said, well, woe is me, I can't do anything. Amen. Now, I want to see a show. Sorry, I'm still in the prophetic. I want to see a show of hands. Who's retired but still working? Or who's beyond retirement age and still working? Can I see? Yeah, just hold your hand up high. Lord, I pray, bless these people. Release finances. Because we are not in the world's economy. Just keep your hand up. I loose your blessings over them, Lord. The world says you can't work when you turn 60, let alone 65. Lord, I thank you for the people that are still working at 70 and 75 and 80 because you are their provider. Amen. Hallelujah. He renews my youth like that of the eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not for nothing you're here this morning. But that's not what I'm preaching about. I'm preaching about it's not for nothing. Have you ever asked, maybe it is linked to what I've just said. Have you ever asked the question, why am I here? Why on earth was I born? Yeah, he's going to preach about the Lord's got a plan for you. No, I want to preach about purpose this morning. Have you asked the question, what is my purpose in this life? Have you actually thrown up your hands and said, I've got no idea why I'm here. What on earth? Why am I here? Life is so difficult. Can't I just go home? I mean, who's that? Yeah, Auntie Betsy Bust, eh? You can see from the looks on people's faces. No, that wasn't prophetic. That was just because we spoke. What is purpose? What is purpose? It's defined in the dictionary as the reason for which something is done or the reason for which something exists. Amen. There's a reason, church, why you are here. Not just here today, but why you exist. There's a reason for your existence. And I'm not going to speak about God's plan for your life, although it's linked. I'm going to speak about your God-given purpose this morning. So they're quite intricately linked. Okay, that's the word I was looking for. But what is your purpose? There's a reason you exist. And I'm here to tell you today that it's not for nothing that you are here, that you live, that you've breathed air, that you became a living being, that you became a human. It's not for nothing. You exist for a reason. Amen. Hallelujah. You weren't born for nothing. God's ultimate purpose for you is that you spend eternity with Him. That's God's ultimate purpose for you. But there's a time on this earth, 70 years, and if we're blessed more than 70 years, where God has got a plan and a purpose for you to do something here. Ephesians 2 verse 10, which we read often, but I've taken it from the Amplified version this morning, says this, for we are God's own handiwork. In the other, in the New Living Translation, I love it because it says we are His masterpiece. We're His Van Gogh, or something like that, okay. We're His masterpiece. Accepting His masterpieces are far better than any human-made masterpiece. We are His handiwork, His workmanship. He worked with us with His hands. We are recreated in Christ Jesus. In other words, we've been born anew so that we may do those good works which God predestined. He predestined it. That means it was predestined. It was pre our destiny. It was before we were born. He put it in place. We were predestined beforehand for us taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged. He arranged our whole lives before we were even born. He prearranged all of those things and made ready for us to live. So He prearranged our lives and He made a life ready for us to live. He predestined us and He's got not just a plan for our life, His plan is salvation, but He's got a purpose. Why do I exist? Why was it not that we got born again, we made a choice, and choop, we're in heaven? Okay, think about that. Have you ever thought about it? Why didn't I just go to heaven after I got born again? Because you know, I know, and you both know, that sometimes we get so frustrated, I'm born again, and we had the prophecy this morning. I love you, even though there's a sea of sin. Lord, why couldn't you just take me when I gave my heart to you? Why do I have to go through these struggles, struggling with the flesh? Hey? Who's asked themselves? I've asked myself that question. I haven't asked, why haven't you taken me away? But I say, Lord, why? I don't want to sin. God's got a purpose for you and for me. There's a reason why you're still alive. And I want to tell you, as I look out over the congregation, sadly, and I'm very happy to have you here, but sadly, our congregation is an aging congregation. Many of our congregation are above 50, me included, right? Many of us are above 50. But that doesn't mean God doesn't have a purpose for the remaining portion of your life. He does. There's a reason why you've got to 50 and beyond, 70 and beyond, 75 and beyond, 80 and beyond. There's a reason for that. Look at Pastor Ted. 80 years old, and he's sprightly, and he's still full of God's word, and he's still building into people's lives. He's got a purpose. There's a reason he's still breathing. And you and I as well. God has got a plan for our lives. We know Jeremiah 29:11, which says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a future and a hope. Plans not for disaster. So, that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. It's not for nothing. Say with me, it's not for nothing that I exist. Say it again. It's not for nothing that I exist. It's not for nothing that you're here today to hear this message. The first thing I want to tell you is that you are not a mistake. All right? God doesn't make mistakes. Can you agree with me? You are not a mistake. I was watching a movie this week. It was actually quite a sweet movie. That guy that was the coach in the movie Facing the Giants. He was a storyteller. He was telling a story. And one of the in a foster home. And one of the little children was a foster child, little girl. And she said this to him. My mom, the only thing she can ever tell me was that I'm an accident. Who of you have heard that? Who of you have experienced that? You were never meant to be. You were an accident. You were a mistake. We were supposed to have closed the shop and then you came along. And how did that make you feel your whole life? But I must tell you right now, it doesn't matter what your parents say. Your parents might have gone through a difficult time. You may have been unexpected. They may not have had money. You may have been unplanned. You may have heard these words, even in the womb. I wish I wasn't pregnant. I wish this baby wasn't coming. You were a mistake. You were an accident. And you know what? It hits us. It hits us psychologically. It hits us. And we have to deal with that our whole lives long. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'll show you in God's word, you are not a mistake. If you've heard those words, or if you've thought, well, why was I born? I should never have been born. You are not a mistake. Psalm 139, we love Psalm 139. Quote it for me, Josh. No, don't. He's gone to children's church in any case. He couldn't. It says, yeah, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God was intricately involved even when we were substance, even before. Now the argument comes, you know, it's only after so many trimesters that a fetus becomes a human being. God had a plan for your life, even before you're born. All your days were written in His book. So the whole thing about abortion is really an absolute tragedy. Because if people would realize that fetus, when the husband's semen meets the woman's seed, life begins. Every word, every moment of that child's life is written in the Lord's book. Right there, right then. There is an alternative to abortion, and that's what I'm talking about. You could give birth and give that child up for adoption. You could give birth and that child goes into a foster home. It won't be easy, but God's got a plan for that child. Your choice. And then there's forgiveness. If you've had an abortion, God loves you. God loves you. We heard the prophecy. Nothing can separate us from His love. Even when we make mistakes and we take a child's life that God had, it's all its life written in His book. God can still forgive you. So there's grace as well. If God had never intended for us to be here, surely that substance would never have been formed into a baby. Amen? The woman would not have fallen pregnant. It's as simple as that. Of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Before I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you. The moment those two things meet together, life begins. God is talking about even before that. Even before that. Nobody is a mistake, even if they were unexpected. Even if they were born and their parents didn't plan for them. They are not a mistake. They God has got a plan and a purpose for every single life that forms in a woman's womb. Amen. So I want you to say this. God has a plan for me. I am a person of purpose. Can I hear an amen? So I want to ask you, my first challenge to you this morning is this. Have you been struggling with a sense of rejection? You know, psychologists and psychiatrists go all the way back to the mother and the father and the womb and all that kind of stuff. But it's real. It's real. It happens. If you've grown up with a sense of inadequacy, with a sense of I'm not good enough, a sense of not making the grade, it could very well be negative words like that spoken over your life as a baby. So if you're struggling with that today, even today as a grown adult, I spoke about pensioners. You might be a pensioner, you're still struggling about it, with it. And if you're wondering why you were ever born, I want to tell you today, you were born with a purpose. God has got a purpose for your life. Today it's time to realize it's not for nothing that you were born. God loves you and He ordained for your birth. He ordained it. He ordained it. Can you say that with me? He ordained it. He ordained my birth. You're not a mistake. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. So what we need to do is embrace our purpose. I want to just tell you something else. I don't know, it's somewhere in my notes, but I'm going to jump ahead. When Ed Trout came here many, many years ago, Kirsty's turning 23 on Saturday next week. Before she was born, Ed Trout, we stood in front of you and he prophesied over us. And he prophesied over Cheryl. He said, "And children?" She said, "No, I'm not having any more." And he shook his head. He says, "It's amazing how we ask God about our jobs, about our careers, about our families, about our finances. But when it comes to children, we tell God." Isn't that interesting? And he didn't say he's going to have a baby, but he just said that. And then Kirsty came. She was unexpected, but we've always called her our blessing. She was our surprise. She was our blessing. I would not change it for the world, Kirsty. You've got a purpose, my child. Yeah, she said, "I better not." She'll sort me out. She was our blessing. But we try and tell God how many children we want. No. So what would you do? I was thinking about it as we were having praise and worship. I was thinking about you, Corin. What would you do? I bust you. She was pointing at Mark now. Maybe the Lord's talking to you, Corin. What would you do? I don't know. I'm not prophesying. Okay. What would you do? We always used to tease Glenn and Lindsay when they were here. Amen. Who knows? But if it happens, it happens. And just accept that it's from God and He's got a purpose for that child. Amen. All right. What we need to do is we need to embrace our purpose. If we've got a purpose, we need to take hold of our purpose. We need to embrace our purpose. How do we do that? How do we do that? We embrace our purpose by saying, "Lord, I'm not here for nothing. I might not be absolutely sure what my purpose is, but I know that You've put me here for a reason." Or we look at our lives and we look at the giftings God has given us, because Your gifting will reveal Your purpose. I'd look at my children And some of the other youngsters in the church, I look at you, Shanae, we can look at Stacy. They've gifted with music. There's a purpose for that. It's not just for your entertainment. God will take that gifting and He will use it. But as I was preparing the sermon, I realized if we are to embrace our purpose, that we should not shun our purpose. And there's actually a warning about that. Matthew 25 speaks, Jesus gave the terrible parable about the talents. Okay? Where a master was going to take a trip. So he called three of his servants and he said, okay, to you I give 5 talents, and to you I give 2, and to you I give 1. And we know the story, he went away, and one day when he came back, he wanted to take account. We need to realize that if God has given us a purpose, and He's given us talents and abilities and skills, He's going to expect to take an account of what we've done with Him. What have you done with your purpose, church? So he came and he spoke the first one, and the first one said, I did this and I did that, and I took the 5 and it became 10. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful with little, I will bless you with much. Did the same with the second one. The third one said, I know that you're a tough taskmaster. And I was afraid, so I took that and I buried it. And here it is. And his master said, well, why didn't you? You know I'm tough. Why didn't you even just invest it so I could have got some interest on it? And he took what he is and he gave it to the guy that had the most, or the woman or whatever, the person that had the most. And he said, go away from me. And there was much gnashing of teeth. If God has given us a purpose in life, and we are not embracing our purpose, we're running away from our purpose, we will stand accountable. And there's a warning in that, church. What are you doing with the purpose that God has given you? Has God given you a gift that you're not using? Has God called you to do something and you're not doing it? Have you only done some of the good works God has prepared in advance for you to do? Have you fully embraced them? Are you running away from your purpose? God has spoken to you. You know what it is. You know what it is. He's challenged you about it over and over and over. And you say, but Lord, I'm too busy doing that. I'm too busy raising my children. I'm too busy building my career. I'm too busy. I don't have the money for it. I'm not smart enough to do that. But God has given you a purpose. He's given you the ability. And you're running from your purpose. You'll stand account one day, church. But you know what? If He brings you to a purpose, He will give you the ability to fulfill it. Who wants to fulfill their purpose in life? I want to challenge you this morning. There's people here this morning that know. You know it. You don't have to come and stand in front for me to pray for. You know you've been running from your purpose. God has put something on your heart, but you're running. You don't want to embrace it. I can tell you, can I tell you about my own life? I knew 20 years before I eventually got asked to take over the church. And that was 7 years before I took over. Okay? I knew I was called to be a pastor. But the day Pastor Pat came and spoke to me and said, it's you, Keith. The Lord has showed me it's you. 7 years before I took over, I didn't sleep that night. I panicked. A few years later, he came to me again and said, the Lord, it's you, Keith. I didn't sleep that night. I panicked. I ran from my purpose. But right at the beginning of those 7 years, I started getting my life in order. I started preparing. I might have been running, but I started preparing. I was just not ready for full-time ministry. I was not ready to trust God with having resigned from my secular work. Because how would I make it? What am I going to do, Lord? I was earning a phenomenal salary. How will I make it? Church, I'll tell you today something. I speak hesitantly about it, but I encourage us to tithe, okay? I won't encourage you to do something that I don't do. I have, as a pastor, obviously needed to, and I am blessed. The Lord does bless me financially. But I've needed to carry on giving. I've needed to carry on tithing. I've needed to carry on making offerings. And I've chosen against my flesh's fear to give, to not hold back on offerings. Offerings, yeah. To not hold back when people come to me having a need. There are times I use my discernment and say, hang on a second, yeah. But I've chosen not to do that. And I'll tell you, I'll testify this morning. Things go wrong. My bank account was going into overdraft. And then something silly happens. I told you before, Trevor made a little mistake with the tax that he was taking off of my salary. So I got a refund from the church. Thank you, church. But it sorted my finances out for a while. And then I saw the... I drew a statement on my bond, and the amount was wrong. And I got a hold of them. And they'd been billing me 10 times what they should have for the admin fee for a period of time. So I got, that wasn't a lot of money, about 1,800 rand back from the bank. We haven't had, I'm actually live in Johannesburg. I live in Roodepoort, so I'm under the Johannesburg Town Council. For months, maybe 8 months, we haven't had statements. I tried to go and register for online statement. I couldn't get it right. I had no idea what my water and light account was. I was just paying an amount in every month. It arrived in the post on Friday. I couldn't believe it. We should give the postal service a hand clap because normally we don't get this stuff. So it lay there. I didn't want to open it. I said to Cheryl, I don't have the guts to open that thing because I didn't know what to expect because I'd just been paying. She opened it. Massive credit on my account. That's God. I'm telling you now, it's God. We can be faithful. And in the same way, when we are afraid to embrace our purpose, we can say, no, I'm going to embrace it in any case because I know God is trustworthy. He will not let me down. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I might have been talking about offerings and tithing and giving, but you can embrace your purpose. Maybe your purpose in life is to give. Maybe God has blessed you financially and you've been holding back. Oh, but can I trust God with it? Or maybe God wants you to get involved with one of the things that we do. One of the things we do, and I'll speak about it just now. Maybe God wants you to get involved in the church. Maybe He wants you to volunteer. Maybe there's somebody you need to tell about Jesus. Maybe you need to start a prayer meeting in your workplace. Maybe you need to lead a cell in your workplace. Maybe you need to start a prayer meeting. Maybe you need to do whatever. Go and encourage them. Pray for the sick. I don't know. God has got a purpose for our lives, yours and for mine. Maybe you've just got to work in your workplace and work as hard as you possibly can so that you can be an example to those who are watching you. In Hebrews we see we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching you. They know you're a Christian. Maybe your purpose is to show what happens in a person's life when they meet Jesus. That righteousness comes out, and rightness, and holiness, and diligence, and godliness, and trustworthiness comes out. Maybe that's your purpose, because people are watching you. We've got surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So we need to embrace our purpose, church. We mustn't sit on those talents and bury them. Embrace your purpose. I want to encourage you. Say this with me. I will embrace my purpose. I will embrace my purpose. What are we going to do? It's not for nothing that you're sitting here this morning. We need to set a high expectation. One of the church fathers, Augustine, said this. It's the beginning of adulthood in our lives when we are willing to ask the question, what do I wish to be remembered for? Church, I want to ask you that question. Are you willing to ask that of yourself? What am I willing to be remembered for? What am I willing to be remembered for? I've many times spoken about the book Halftime by Bob Buford. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. He wrote this book about when you get to middle age, the first half of our life, we tend to chase our careers and things like that. But there comes a certain point in our life when making money, when being successful, when raising children is not enough anymore. And there's something that stirs up and we feel, I want to achieve more with my life. Before I die, I want to do something of significance. Who's felt that? And I speak to those that are over 40 and over 50. Who's felt, I want to do more with my life? Mark, your wife is letting the truth on this morning. Okay, I want to achieve something with my life. That was the final thing that pushed me over the edge. I read that book and I got to the point where I said, okay, it's time for me to leave my secular job. But the reality is, he speaks about that. He writes about what he would have want written on his epitaph. How do you say it? Epitaph. Epitaph. I don't know. What would I want written on my tombstone? What would I want them to say as a eulogy at my funeral? Would I want them to say he was a good man? Yeah, lays a good man. Yeah, lays a man that left 10 million rand in the bank. He gave his children a house. Yeah, lays a man that he managed to skim through life, didn't manage to rock the boat, got on with people. It was a good life. Or what I want to say, he left a legacy. And that legacy, though his body may be dead, his legacy lives on. What would you like to do, church? Would you like to build a legacy that lives on? I can tell you it's not in money. I can tell you it's not about money. It's about how many people's lives have you impacted? What change is there that lives on after you gone? That is your purpose in life. What will you leave as your legacy? He said, 10 times, that's what I want them to write on my epitaph. 10 times, just 10 times. No, sorry, 100 times. 100 times. What did it mean? He went to the parable of the sower. And the sower sowed seeds, and some brought a 30-fold harvest, some brought 60-fold, and some brought 100 times harvest. He wants it to say 100 times. What God gave me, His calling, and His purpose for my life, I want to multiply it 100 times. What is your legacy going to be if you don't embrace your purpose and become that which God has called you to be and enabled you to be and encouraged you to be? What will they write on your epitaph? No times? 1 times? 30 times? 50 times? 1,000,000 times? Because that's the potential you have in God. Not no times. Not 1 times. It multiplies. Every seed bears fruit. Amen. You don't want to have written on your epitaph, he lived a good life. He left a lot of money in the bank. He's got good children. I want children whose lives have been so impacted by my life that they live on. And it touches their children. And it touches their community. Then I've made a difference. I want this church to make a difference. And I'll speak about it soon. When we set a high expectation, I'm not happy with 30 times, Lord. I'm not happy with 60 times. I want 100 times or more. Amen. We need to realize that when you do that, God will help us. He will help us. The saying goes, if God brought me to it, He will bring me through it. If He put something on your heart, He will give you the ability to do it. Psalm 57, verse 2 in the Amplified. There goes my voice. Let me tell you something funny quickly, just to change the atmosphere. So my wife's got laryngitis. My poor wife. I feel so sorry. So she went to the doctor on Friday afternoon. Not on her own will. I said, you must go. Because she's a toughie. She's not like me. I'm a wimp when it comes to stuff like that. So he booked her off until Tuesday. And she was whispering, you know, like Anthony a while ago. But the doctor said, you're not allowed to speak for 2 days, and she took it very seriously. So I'm just having to learn sign language. I said to her, your sign language is not bad. If I was a deaf person and I was following your sign language, I'd probably fall off a cliff. So I said to her, and we've been laughing at her for 2 days. The other thing I said to her, yeah, I contacted that doctor. He gave me a 2-day break. What I didn't realize is she made the arrangement with the doctor so she could have a 2-day break. Anyway, we pray for Cheryl. We trust that Cheryl, because her throat's very sore. That's why she's not here this morning. Psalm 57 verse 2 says this, I will cry to God Most High, who performs on my behalf and rewards me, who brings to pass His purposes for me and surely completes them. God will bring those purposes to pass. But look what it says. He performs on my behalf. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will place my trust in God. Amen. Amen. But look what it says. He performs on my behalf and he rewards me. When I embrace my purpose, God rewards me. Psalm 138 verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The ESV. Okay? Some of them say his plan will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. What's the work of his hands? He fearfully wrought it together in my mother's womb. His handiwork. I'm the work of his hands. He will complete the plans. He will perfect everything which concerns me. We need to embrace our purpose. We need to trust God to help us with that purpose. We can do it. We can do it. There's another saying. Somebody said this. If we have a dream and it's not too big for us, then it's too small for God. Amen. If your purpose fits your understanding, it's too small because you're limiting God, because his ability to make you so much more, not one times, 100 times plus what you are today. Remember that. Don't limit God with your expectations. And I just want to say this. There's some of us, and this came to me while we were praising, worshiping. There's some of us who know that we've got a purpose in life. And it's not my notes. But we've allowed things to come into our life that are messing with our purpose. Distractions, sin, people, limitations, our thinking, thought life. We need to ask the Lord for the mind of Christ. Don't let things get in the way of your purpose. Remember, you were born with a God-given purpose. Amen. Don't let sin get in the way. Sin will prevent you because you can't be fully anointed and powerful in God when sin is in the way. It prevents a block. Sometimes it's a block in our own minds because we judge our own sin and we say, I can't do this. And then I want to just, God has got a purpose for our church. Jesus, man, I don't know if you can carry that thing through you. I don't know how far it'll come. All right, you just click it. Click it and I'll tell you. What is God's purpose for our church? Going to the next slide. So I'm going to look back because it's not in my notes. Yeah. What is God's purpose for Christian Heritage? I want to remind you of this today. This church has got a purpose. And I do think we started well. Remember, we varnished, we worked, we did all that work upstairs there. Not so it could look nice and neat and tidy. We painted the church. We made it look good. Why? Because we believe God's going to fill this place. Amen. God's got a purpose for this church. Click it again. I'll just say click and then you go. John 1:3. I myself did not know him. But for this purpose, this is John the Baptist. He had a purpose. He came for a reason. Baptizing with water that he may be revealed to Israel. John the Baptist, I spoke about it recently. He came with a purpose. His purpose was to baptize. Now, if you just open the next 3 or 4. We've all come for a purpose. Our purpose will always be to reveal Jesus as Christians, church. And God planned for everyone to serve him. But we made the choice. We were predestined and we embraced that destiny. Our purpose will always be involved. One way or another, your purpose will be about revealing Jesus to people. Whether they see how you work, whether you speak to them, whether you pray for them, whether you work in the kingdom, one way or another, you will reveal Jesus. Who do we need to reveal Jesus to? You can start. If you say, I don't know my purpose, just write that question. Who do I need to reveal Jesus to? And start there. Okay, carry on. He's called us to be a church of irresistible influence. That's our purpose. That saying, you know, we wrote out our vision statement, our mission statement. But that word, irresistible influence, who can identify with that word, irresistible influence? If you think of our church, do you think of those two words? We also say flourishing in faith, growing in love, but that's our mission statement. Our purpose is to be a church of irresistible influence in Krugersdorp and in the West Rand. That is our purpose. There's a reason we are here, church, to be a church of irresistible influence. Go to the next slide. We know what our mission statement is. You can open the whole thing. It's flourishing in faith, growing in love. That's how we are to live. Okay, that is got to be our, as today, it's as is. We need to be a people that are flourishing in faith and growing in love. Is that our purpose? It leads to our purpose. purpose. Okay, it's a key to our purpose. That we flourish in faith and grow in love. And that comes from 2 Thessalonians 1:3. And then go to the next line. Our vision is this. To grow and thrive. We want to grow as a church. Becoming a church of, there's the word, irresistible influence. Reaching those God has in the city and elsewhere as we love God, love people, and make disciples. That's our vision. That's our to be. That's where we want to go to. Who buys into that vision statement? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. We need to buy into the vision statement. All right, just bring it up. Because it's a mouthful, we broke it into five things. Okay? To love the Lord our God, that's easy. To love people, not so easy, but we can do it. To make disciples, not so easy, but we can do it. That's what the cells are all about. To be a church of irresistible influence. There it is again. And to grow and thrive. Okay? That's our vision. Go to the next slide. If I take our purpose, where does our purpose fit in our vision statement? It's the words that I've got in bold there. That we become, and I don't know, I must have deleted something there. But becoming a church of, you see I've cut it there. So, but it says, our purpose is to become a church of irresistible influence as we reach those God is in the city and elsewhere. That is our purpose. Can I see a nodding of heads or something? Do you agree? We become a church of irresistible influence and reach those God, because the statement is on the polls outside. I've still got people in the city. Acts 18:10. I've still got a people in the city. People that God has got need to be reached. Okay, go to the next slide. Irresistible influence. What does it mean? You can open all of it. Faith without works is dead. If I say it but I don't do it, it's just a word. It's just a phrase. It comes when we put our faith to action. I've got to embrace my purpose. I can't have this great purpose written out. Oh, lovely words. And I'm doing nothing about it. It's time to awaken the dream. In your life, for your purpose, and for Christian heritage, we need to awaken the dream. Church, we've gone to sleep on the dream. We've gone to sleep on the dream. We need to achieve our purpose. How do we do that? We say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen. Go to the next slide. So I'm going to do this quickly because time is almost over. How do we do it? Okay. I thought of a few things that we can use. And this you can apply to your own life, but some of it is church specific. We start by praying, Lord, help me to find my purpose. Help me to embrace it. Show me how you're going to help me to do it. Secondly, we do it through life groups. Why do I say life groups? Because life groups will give us a sense of belonging. And also, that is where we are rolling out discipleship. Okay? But now, it doesn't help those of us that have been serving the Lord for 20 and 30 and 40 years to go to life groups alone. Okay? We're going to enjoy the fellowship, but we've actually already been discipled. So am I achieving my purpose by just going to cell group? No. I need to say, how can I make disciples? All you have to do is bring somebody to cell group. Your cell leader will do the teaching, or you might, which I'm encouraging in the cells. Or you can say, I'm going to start a cell group with people that aren't in the church. Then I start reaching people in the city. Amen? Then I start making disciples. Then I start making a difference. We need to embrace our cell groups, our life groups. We need to embrace them. Too many people here say, no, I'm tired. I'm not going to go. Or no, I don't have transport. That's okay. Start one in your home. You don't need transport. Amen? All right. Evangelism and outreach. When last did we walk these streets? We've lost our mission. We've lost our purpose. We've stopped doing it. We started well, but we haven't pursued it. I can tell you something really significant that we did is the Holiday Bible Club. We reached a lot of children. Our children's church has grown because of it. But we need to move to the next step. And yes, somebody has offered to help, but I've said, hang on a second here, you've got too much on your plate. I'm going to ask you, church, has God maybe put on your heart to work with children? We're looking for people. I'd say ideally at least two people. We want to start a kids club here on a Friday afternoon where we can bring in children, where we can evangelize them, and they in turn can reach their people, their families. Has the Lord maybe put, is that your purpose? Is that maybe your purpose that you've been running for? What else have we got there? Good Shepherd. It's a way to be a church of irresistible influence. We're going to get involved. I've got a message this week about the ladies' shelter. They found a house now. We have committed. We've let out this house next door. The person will move in at the end of the month. We've committed to take 1,000 rand of that rent because it is a community house. So we felt we must allocate some of that money to the right purpose. The other money must go to pay for the refurbishment because it was very expensive. Actually, it was cheap because we did a lot of the work ourselves, but it was expensive for us as a church. So we're taking 1,000 rand out of that rent. We're going to give it monthly towards that. Some of you have put up your hand and said, we will do that. You're being part of the church of irresistible influence. You are, by doing that, embracing your purpose and the church's purpose. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you little ways. Irresistible influence. Going to Tilbach and praying and singing with those people and asking people if they want to accept Jesus. Going out on the street. Being involved with three shelters. Ikusasa, Polokecho, and four. Tower of Life and Cradle of Hope. We are being a church of irresistible influence. Some of our people have volunteered, embracing their purpose. Are you with me? So church, I'm going to go no further. I don't think you need... Is there any more on that slide? I just want to ask you this question. Are we doing this? Now that's the church. Have you embraced your purpose? What about your purpose? What about what God told you to do? Extra church, okay, outside the church. What has God told you to do? Have you done it? Okay. That's the message this morning. I deliberately prepared a short message so I could go through the slide. There were some promises that God gave this church. He's chosen this church and this property as a place to place his name, for it to be honored. Nehemiah 1:9. That if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you're exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. God has a purpose for this church. He has a land for us to claim. Joshua 1:2, the second half. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, Christian heritage, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving you. God has given us the city. And he's got a people that must be reached. Acts 18:10, which I've spoken about already. My challenge to us is this. Are we still running with a vision? Have we lost the vision of the church that we're part of? Have we washed our hands and said, well, now somebody else can do it? Have we lost focus and become disinterested? Maybe I've lost focus. Maybe it's my fault. We need to ask the Lord to restore the work in the midst of the years. And I can conclude with this as a summary of the message. It's not for nothing that we were born and that we are Christians today. And it's not for nothing that Christian Heritage Church exists. God has a purpose for our existence. We are not accidents and we're not here by mistake. We need to embrace our purpose. We need to have high expectations. I expect to see this church filled, plus I expect to have a parking problem. I have high expectations, church. Yes, you look around today and say, what? We can do it, church. Jesus changed the whole world with 12 men. We've got many times, we've got a multiple of 12 here. And we need to realize we're not alone. If God brings us to it, he will bring us through it. And these are my final encouraging words to you today. From Habakkuk 3, and we read it last week. Habakkuk 3:2, revive your work, Lord, in the midst of years. So I want you to stand with me, church. Bless you, Lord Jesus. I'm just briefly going to go back into prophetic mode. I believe God has got a purpose. I believe as I was talking to you, the Lord spoke to you about it. And if I prophesy over you now, it doesn't mean that you haven't been embracing it. I just want to confirm it. Corin, you know what your purpose is. Not just in the church, but even extra the church. Amen. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Amen. I don't know if it's got to do with stuff with the homeschool and the other moms and the other two. Maybe that's it. I don't want to move into the flesh. Right. You know what it is. Or if you don't, the Lord will show you. Amen. Does it make sense? Amen. I want you to ask to close our eyes. I'm not going to call you forward. There's not enough time for that. I'm going to ask you, if you want to ask the Lord to revive His purpose for you in the midst of the years, put up your hand. And we're going to pray. I see many hands going up. I can put up mine as well. Just keep it up there as a sign to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Surely I'm going to ask you to pray about that. Pray over us, about our purpose. The rest of us can hold our hands up.
Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for each and every yes, person Lord. In this place. Lord, until the day that you call us to yourself, you are not done with us.
Amen.
And Father, as each person stands here today, Lord, revive in each person that, Lord, that you have placed, that you have purposed right from the beginning when you formed us in our mother's womb. Father, those who do not know what the purpose is, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, work in their lives, reveal it to each person, Lord. Let not one person leave this place today not knowing what is wanted of them. Holy Spirit, I pray, encamp around your people, encamp around each one of us, I pray, that let not one of us stand before your throne, Lord God, and have to give account of what we did not do,
Amen.
But
Amen.
Rather than that which we did do.
Yes,
Father, we pray this today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Just as one last symbolic thing, I want you to say this with me. Lord, I embrace my purpose. Say it again. Lord, I embrace my purpose. Now I want us to shout it. Lord, I embrace my purpose. Hallelujah. Amen.